Shotgun. Marino throws deep downfield. It is caught by Fryer. Touchdown! Yes! Touchdown, Dolphins!
With in-depth analysis on the Miami Dolphins.
The Rangers call! That's on 4th and 5!
Live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios.
In my opinion, the greatest fans in the NFL, Miami Dolphin fans.
DolphinsTalk.com daily.
All right, Miami!
Hello everyone, and how are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. I am your host, Tom Ernesty, on this Monday, February 18th. And it's a short show just because, of course, it's a little bit of dead time, but there have been some developments with the Miami Dolphins over the weekend. And nothing is more, I would say, it's a very big signing. Not on the field, but off the field. The Miami Dolphins continue the front office overhaul and adding some very significant pieces to Chris Greer's staff. And this weekend was no exception. The Miami Dolphins have announced that they have added Reggie McKenzie, former pro personnel director for the Green Bay Packers and former general manager of the Oakland Raiders, to the Miami Dolphins staff. As essentially he's going to be a senior personnel exec for the Miami Dolphins. And pretty much, let me just run down real quick. Many of you know Reggie McKenzie, obviously, from his time in Green Bay and his tumultuous run through Oakland from 2012 to 2018. And he was relieved of his duties, of course, because John Gruden now runs the show there. But one of the things that you really take away from it is his experience. And that's one thing that Chris Greer has added. And the same thing with Brian Flores, what he has added is experience. McKenzie was employed with the Packers. It looks like, if my math is right, it was about 18 years. He was with the Green Bay Packers. He began as a scout, gradually rose through the ranks, and became the Packers' director of player of personnel and eventually to the team's director of football operations while reporting to Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson in Green Bay. So if you look at it from his time there, there's two Super Bowls. He got the one with Brett Favre, I believe it was 96, 97, as well as Aaron Rodgers in 2010. So he has been around some championship football teams, around some very good football people in Green Bay and Ron Wolf and Ted Thompson. He went on to Oakland and was hired as a general manager of the Raiders. And needless to say, his time there was kind of crazy. So, when he went to Oakland, he inherited a roster of high-priced and underperforming players. There was $154 million committed towards $120.6 million salary cap in 2012. So he had a lot of work to do. The Raiders struggled and went 4-12. A lot of things happened, of course, but the standout drafts that he did have included Khalil Mack, Derek Carr, and Amari Cooper, which helped the Raiders kind of get back on track. And he did oversee the 12-4 Oakland Raiders in the 2017 season, where, of course, then became short-lived because when they got rid of Jack Del Rio to bring in John Gruden, Gruden was given near total authority over the team, which led to Khalil Mack and Amari Cooper getting traded and departures of a lot of McKenzie's draft picks and signings. And in December, McKenzie was fired by the Raiders. So what in sense is what he's going to do is he's going to be that voice for Chris Greer. He's going to be another guy that'll be able to have Chris Greer's ear when he's making decisions. Now, this isn't like the Mike Tannenbaum situation. Chris Greer is in full control of this football team and its operations. So they've hired McKenzie to be a senior personnel executive. He's done a great job with that in Green Bay. He inherited an absolute mess in Oakland, but was able to overcome it and find some really good football players for the Oakland Raiders. So at the end of the day, I think this is a great hire, and it just continues on a long trend for the Miami Dolphins this offseason with making the right decisions and bringing in people with a lot of experience who have been around winning organizations to help get the Dolphins back on track and help them start to win football games again. So what does this all mean? Well, at the end of the day, the Miami Dolphins have some great people that can make personnel decisions, draft decisions. So as we go into free agency here in the next less than a month, and obviously the combine come before that, there's going to be a lot of rumors, a lot of trade discussions, as well as free agents potentially coming to the Miami Dolphins, coming out of Indianapolis at the combine. Don't expect the big names. I just don't see the Miami Dolphins spending their cap. Right now they are at about $10 million in salary cap before any moves happen. And there's a lot of moves that will potentially happen that can propel the Miami Dolphins to, you know, about $60 to $70 million in salary cap space to help plug holes in this roster with young players, unproven players, and continue to build this thing from the ground up. Where does that lead, you know, the Xavier Howard thing? Again, we don't know. There's going to be discussions throughout Indianapolis, and for all that have been on Twitter, no, Jacoby Brissett for Xavier Howard is the most ungodly and stupidest thing I've ever heard on Twitter coming from Colts Nation, and a few Indianapolis fans thinking that Jacoby Brissett is worth a second round pick when in fact he's not. So I don't think we need to worry about Xavier Howard getting traded unless it's to a team that's willing to pony up that first round pick that the Dolphins will covet, particularly in the 2020 draft. I don't know if it'll be the 2019 pick, but the Dolphins definitely want more draft capital go for the 2020 draft. Now, we'll get into the quarterback discussions and things like that on another show, who they're going to look at, so on and so forth. But we got some time to think about that. Real quick, the Miami Dolphins did sign two players today. One was Tank Carradine from... Where did he play last? I'm looking all over the place here. My eyes are scrambled. He played for Oakland this year. He was at San Francisco for four seasons. He's played in 45 career games, 8 starts, and 77 total tackles, 5.5 sacks, and 1 forced fumble. Tank originally entered the NFL as a second-round pick by the 49ers in the 13th draft. And the other person was Jamal Wiltz. Now, this is a signing off the Patriots practice squad. Wiltz was on the practice squad and spent the entire 2018 season, all but 1 week of the 2017 season, on the New England practice squad. He originally entered the NFL as an undrafted college free agent with Philadelphia. He played collegiately at Iowa State. So Wiltz has been added. He's a 5'10" corner, 190 pounds. And Tank Carradine is a 6'4", 270-pound defensive end, defensive tackle. So Tank Carradine is the type of player that will fit Brian Flores' defense, as he is a hybrid. He can play on the outside. He can play on the inside on the defensive line. So I think overall, Carradine being in Miami right now, it's good to have him as a camp body. I don't know if he's going to be the final piece to plug in there. I mean, the Dolphins have the likes of Devon Godchow and Vincent Taylor, and they could be looking at getting somebody in the draft as well, because they do need that hybrid, that Trey Flowers style player in Brian Flores' defense is going to be very important to have. And the Wiltz, this is more about a depth signing than anything else. Don't read too much into it. It's got nothing to do with Xavier Howard. The Dolphins are going to be riding with Howard, Minkah Fitzpatrick. Who knows where he's going to play yet in this scheme. Cordarius Tankersley should be coming back off an injury. got Davis, so and Bobby McCain. So there is some pieces to work with here in Miami. Torrey McTyre as well. I don't think they're done at corner. I think this is a good depth signing if Wiltz plays decent and he understands Flores' defensive philosophies. We may see him as like a special teams, maybe even on the Dolphins practice squad. We don't know. We got a long way to go before we figure that out. I'm going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to wrap up the show here with a couple more thoughts, and I'll be back after these words.
Sinbad Sports is the number one sports memorabilia company in South Florida and the number one place to go get authentic Miami Dolphins signed memorabilia. Sinbad Sports has had the likes of Albert Wilson, Kiko Alonso, Frank Gore, Jakeem Grant, Rashad Jones, Ricky Williams, and Cam Wake in for recent autograph signings. So when you're in South Florida, go ahead and visit Sinbad Sports at 1976 South University Drive, Davie, Florida. Tell them DolphinsTalk.com say you.
We are back, and the last thing I want to talk about today is offense for the Miami Dolphins going forward and what it could look like under Chad O'Shea. And Chad O'Shea, coming from New England, he was there for 18 years as a wide receiver coach. He coached some very good football players, Wes Welker. He made Julian Edelman a star, and for some reason, people are talking like Edelman is a Hall of Famer. No. But, you know, one of the things that, you know, Adam Gase brought to the Miami Dolphins and what we believed and what he had people believe, he was going to bring a very dynamic offense to the Miami Dolphins. Now, did we see dynamic? At times we saw some dynamic plays, but we didn't see anything dynamic with the 24th, 26th, and 30th ranked offenses in his 3 years here. So how is it going to be different with Chad O'Shea? You know, he needs to use everything he did in New England and translate it to building a strategy with a vision that can help the Dolphins offense find more success. And his vision for the future seems to be one that is driven by skill set of the players. You know, it's an old concept of success, but one that Dolphins coaches have failed to do to over the, 20 years. It seems like it's been a very long time since the Miami Dolphins have had a significantly good offense and one that's been ranked in the top 12 of the NFL. So when you look at O'Shea and what he's going to bring to the table, now this is a great quote when he was asked this question when he was introduced to the media in Miami. He was asked, you know, what is your vision for an NFL offense in terms of strategy? I know you come from the Patriot system where you guys were pretty multiple in terms of what you're doing, but how do you create that, and how do you create that as an offense conceptually? His response was, and quote, "I think that you have a foundation and some core beliefs that you have offensively, but I think the key to do what your players do well, it's our job as a coaching staff to identify what are the skill sets of the players and how we can utilize that skill set to be a productive offense. That's why we don't talk about specific scheme. We talk about being multiple. We talk about being able to adjust. That's a word that definitely is an important part of our offense, is the ability for the coaches to adjust in the way that we think as far as our scheme, and our players to be able to adjust and might be able to adjust weekly depending on what we need to do to win the game." Taking that quote and breaking it down in a little bit of context, Adam Gase didn't adjust anything. He ran his offense, and that's what he wanted to do. And what you noticed with the quote is Chad O'Shea believes that you can scheme however you want, but it's the players, and if you can adjust and be able to adjust weekly to what they need to do to win a game, is a whole different thing that we've heard from the last 3 years. Heck, even the last 7 years when we go all the way back to Joe Philbin. O'Shea, I believe, is going to find a way to get these guys the football, and he's not going to just sit on his hands. If something's not working, he's not going to keep going back to the same thing. He's not going to keep going back to that awful third and one play action pass, throw down the field for 20 yards that Adam Gase so religiously called. He's going to find a way to make these guys successful and be able to move the sticks. So you have a guy like Albert Wilson, who before his injury was in a very, very good football player for the Miami Dolphins, and he was one of the better receivers in the NFL. In particular, he was very good with the yak. He was very good in open spaces, as we saw, you know, time and time again, from the Raiders game to the Bears game to the Lions game. You know, there's a lot of good with Albert Wilson. Jakeem Grant's kind of in that same mold, as well as Kenny Stills. I think Kenny Stills was very underutilized in this offense the last 2 years. Granted, he's been putting up the touchdowns, but he needs to be used more. And I think we're going to find, with whoever the fourth receiver is going to be on this team, whether it's a draft pick, whether they get someone in free agency, maybe even a trade, who knows. But we know it's not going to be Devontae Parker. I think if he can find a way to get Mike Gesicki the football more, because Gesicki's hand was in the ground and blocking more than he was down the football field trying to make plays with his best skill set, which is his catching ability. And the Patriots in general used a lot of concepts with two tight end sets, with with Gronk running the seam, Gronk running the sideline, one-on-one matchups on the outside. I think there is a lot of conceptual things that O'Shea can do to help the Miami Dolphins offense become better. It's also the guy behind center that's going to be able to help move the football and pick up third downs consistently, because obviously we know Ryan Tannehill was not good at all on third downs, let alone leading the team offensively. So I think there's a lot of good that's going to come from the changes in offense. Kalen Ballage, Kenyon Drake, Mike Gesicki, the wide receiver corps, all of it, I think it will be better with Chad O'Shea calling the plays than it was with Adam Gase calling the plays. Now, are the Dolphins going to make that big giant leap from second to last in the NFL all the way up into the top 12? Absolutely not. This is not the year that that's going to happen. But the building blocks will be in place for when whoever the quarterback is going to be will be able to help them do that and get them to that higher level. And I pulled my hair out personally sometimes when you're watching the Patriots offense and how these guys are wide open and how these guys are able to do the things that they're supposed to do. So O'Shea, who coached the wide receivers, and McDaniels, who called the plays, they found ways to get these guys open. Like, how the heck is Julian Edelman open all the time on second and third downs to pick up first downs? How is he open all the time? That's what the Miami Dolphins need to figure out on their end and be able to get those guys open, get those playmakers the football so they can move the sticks, so they can put points on the board. It's going to be a long 2019 season, no doubt about it, but I think with the right front office and this coaching staff and everybody on the same page, I think we're going to see a lot different Miami Dolphins in the offseason, and I think we're going to start to see a lot of the change. And the New England Patriots, the Patriot way, is making its way to South Florida, and I believe Chris Greer heading this whole thing, and with Brian Flores being the guy on the sidelines, the Dolphins way is going to be making its way to Miami sooner than we may think. And depending on how 2019 goes, a lot of good will come from this, and I think we're going to start to see the new direction of the Miami Dolphins here in the next 2 weeks after or during the combine in Indianapolis and leading up to free agency and, of course, the draft. I'd like to thank everyone for listening to the show today. I'm sorry it's a short show, but not a lot of news going on right now, but there will be in about another week, about a week and a half. where the Miami Dolphins will go into Indianapolis and a lot of moves will begin. I have a poll up on my Twitter page right now. You can go vote who will be the first Miami Dolphin cap casualty. Go on my page and vote. If you think it's someone else that's not listed, leave a comment below. You can check that out on Twitter at Dolphins Talk Tom. Please go to our website every day, dolphinstalk.com, and be sure to follow us on our Facebook page.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.